Good morning to you. Welcome in to a midweek edition of My Car Guru. It is Wednesday, a glorious Wednesday. We welcome in Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru.
At Gateway, we have a freshly paved lot, and now they're getting ready to paint the lines on the lot.
To tell you where to go and everything.
Yeah. No, we don't. Directional lines, directional signs. It's amazing. You can use signs on people. I mean, a sign that couldn't be more clear goes unnoticed. Because I think we're just so inundated with that, don't you? Signage and stuff, we just tune it out.
Plus, we get used to going or doing things a certain way. You know?
But we're trying to fix that, and we're creating additional parking places. And it's amazing how you can solve problems with some physical changes to your retail business, mm-hmm. or to your factory or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of books that have been written about increasing efficiency and stuff like that. But we just I'm just so glad to have a nice black, nicely paved lot. Getting ready to start not only paint the lines, but we're painting the Ford side. Since we have a brand new Nissan showroom, we're painting the Ford side. So I should be good for about 20 years.
Once you get the Ford side painted, you'll probably...
I'm just going to go to the old folks' home and kick up my heels. And
I think it's going to be a while before you do that.
You know, I've got no desire to retire. I have. And really, I don't even see that as an option. They'll probably just have to make me leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, point me, say, go that way, Lenny.
You think Abby will have to drag you out
of
there?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that they can... I just think about... You know, I've seen a lot of people retire, and you can only work in a garden so much, right?
Yeah.
And that's just, and you run out of projects. And I got a good buddy of mine, Mark, has gone serious into the woodworking thing. He even bought a CNC machine that he had to assemble himself that you program it into a computer, and then it's got this router, and it actually cars out words and things like that.
That's incredible that they've got that now, isn't it?
If you were to see this machine that he put together, you would be amazed.
Mm-hmm.
It came in a box in a million pieces, mostly made out of wood, but it has a lot of screws that hold it together, obviously, and it's got motors and belts and adjustments and stuff. And I looked at that, and I said, Mark, how did you do it? How many days did it take you to put that together? He said, 3.
Mm-hmm.
I remember how frustrated I got putting my kid's swing set together. Nothing fit, you know?
I'm with you, yeah. I remember.
I said, there's no way I would pay to have somebody do that. Mm-hmm. I guess that's probably why I don't like putting together a puzzle either.
Yeah.
It's too much sitting in the same place,
yeah.
and just thinking, I've got to be moving more than that.
I was, it brings back memories, one time on Christmas Eve, I was up till 4 a.m. trying to put together this really elaborate computer, back then, computer-type desk.
Mm-hmm.
Computers were not that big a thing back then, but it was a computer-type desk. And
Was it a Tandy computer?
Yeah.
Or a Commodore, what they call them? The Commodores?
The Commodores, the old Tandys. But, yeah, I was up till 4 a.m. on Christmas Eve, and then they got up at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
And you just drifted off.
I just drifted off. Barely got that desk put together.
Mm.
So sometimes it takes a while to put stuff together, doesn't it?
That's right. And if you find that passion, that you know, maybe that second career. You know, I've seen a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's great when you can do that by choice and not because you have to, because mm-hmm. your Social Security check isn't enough or whatever.
I hope to do it by choice here.
I had a wonderful lady call me the other day. She's a radio show listener, and she said, Mr. Lawson, I need your help. I had a vehicle worked on at your dealership, and it's quit again. And so she had to be rescued. And, of course, I hate it whenever that happens, and I try to just jump on it and get it solved. And we did. But it's one of those situations where not getting all the way down to the core problem. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain here. I'll explain right after the break.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Yes, we are back here. It's Wednesday morning. It's My Car Guru talking about getting down to the core problem.
You know, in life and in business,
mm-hmm.
and I guess business is a part of life,
but
if you don't figure out what the core problem is that's causing the pain, then you just treat symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Just treat the symptoms.
Yeah, kind of like a doctor. You mm-hmm. got to know what to treat.
Mm-hmm. And before I get into the main story, I'll tell you a real quick one. You know, people bring their cars to us sometimes because they have been to two or three other places. They've been online. They've tried to diagnose it themselves. They've been to the auto parts store because they see they do free scans and stuff. So then they buy some parts and try to fix it. Check engine light comes back on. So they bring it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time they want us to fix it, but they realize that that you know it's more expensive at our place. It's kind of like going instead of going to you know the witch doctor down the street, you actually go to the hospital. It costs more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we end up doing a diagnosis for somebody. We spend an hour or so. We hook up a computer. We do a lot of testing, and then we say, okay, this is what your problem is, and this is what going to cost to fix it. They say, okay. Well, I think let me think about it. I got to get some money and together and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and then they leave and they never come back. And so dealers charge for diagnostic, and there are some consumers think, well, that's a ripoff. They didn't do any work. Well, yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Trust me. I just had to buy three new laptop computers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can go to Best Buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What can you buy a laptop computer for?
I haven't bought one recently, but $200 I'm
Well, making. Probably three to, yeah. you know, yeah. I mean, you can get a cheap laptop. I had to pay $4,000 a piece for these. Well, that's $12,000 worth of laptops.
These are special laptops, though.
Well, they've specially configured on the inside, but I had to buy those so that my technicians, I could have just bought one,
mm-hmm.
but I bought three because we use them so much, the techs have to wait in line for the available computer. So mm-hmm. I went ahead and bought three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so we will use, these will be good for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Then it'll be obsolete again.
We plug them into your car, and there's a much more detailed process that goes on. Plus, the technician has to be trained to understand those hieroglyphics.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're working and figuring this out. An hour later, they come back, and they say, this is what it's going to be, and the customer just leaves. Now, that technician is just like a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the doctor, how often is that visit free? You know, people seem to think it's free because all they have to pay, or they have no copay, or they have to pay a little $35 copay when the actual mm-hmm. bill for that was $325 and insurance is paying the rest.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that kind of insurance. Now, if you're under warranty, you're on your emission control system, you're under 5 years, 60,000, or 5 years, 75. I can't remember what the emission warranty is. Then it is free.
Or recall.
Something but after that, it's not free.
Right.
And so you take it in, and dealerships are charging anywhere from $75 to $150 for a diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened the other day. A guy was working on the crew paving our lot, and he wanted to get something diagnosed. And we gave him, and we diagnosed it. It took a while for the technician to do it. We charged him to do it. He said, well, they didn't do any work. But they did. So don't be surprised when you get that bill. But back to the main story. So it's getting to the root cause. Okay, that's important. And we didn't in this particular case. We had a customer with an older vehicle, brought it in, or really I think it was towed in to begin with, maybe. But somehow it arrived at our dealership, and we diagnosed it with a battery issue. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we replaced the battery. It also had a few other things with the suspension. We do a full inspection on every car, so it actually needed some ball joints, upper and lower ball joints on the suspension. It was an old Ranger, kind of like your old Ranger, that
mm-hmm.
where you have a Ranger now, though, right?
Yeah, 2005.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so all of that bill was, you know, it wasn't cheap. It's pretty expensive. So fast forward 3 weeks, we get another call. You know, she's gone someplace and it won't start again. So we bring it in. She calls me. Very pleasant, wonderful conversation. Nice lady, listens to the radio show. And I said, well, I'll get on this. So I did and found out that What else in the chart in the electrical system, I'll ask you, could cause a battery to go dead? Can you think of some major component that is on the car that keeps the battery charged?
Well, alternator.
There you go.
There
you go.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, did we check the alternator output?
Mm-hmm.
Now sometimes an alternator will just go bad. Okay.
Yeah.
In the meantime. After we did the repair, ever since we did the repair, this is true confessions time right here, folks. When we did the repair, she noticed that her radio wasn't working. Well, we just replaced the battery. How could that impact the radio? Well, sometimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes if there's a surge of electricity, if it's an older vehicle, you mm-hmm. know, it can cause that stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we made that good, gave her a radio, found a used one. Put a high quality radio in it,
mm-hmm.
and that was on me, okay, because we don't know whether. What we did caused it, or you know, whether it just happened, it you know would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
But then we replaced the alternator, and so we should have done that probably to begin with. But you don't know. But the root cause of her problem was not a bad battery, although she had a bad battery. The root cause was the alternator.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this leads to sometimes is what we call in the car business is a comeback. We don't like those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a comeback, you know, it hurts your reputation. But that's the minor thing. It's inconvenient for the customer.
It's very aggravating for the customer.
Yeah, I mean, these people have lives, and cars are important to their lives. And when they, you know, when they get in their car, they want to turn the key and they want it to go. And when it doesn't go, and they have to bring it back. I mean, I'm going through that same thing right now at my dealership. And I've lived these experiences. So, you know, I speak from a position of experience, and I've got a door that goes into my Ford showroom. Okay, it's just a nice big glass door. And then next to it is another door that's wide enough, and when you open the two together, you can drive a car through it to get it in the showroom, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, some guy that was doing a painting was driving around one of those lifts, you know, those scissor lift things, so they could get up high in the ceiling. Well, he runs into a very important support structure on this door and somehow bends the frame on the door and snaps one of the hinges. I mean, he hit it hard. You had to.
Wow.
To do that.
Mm-hmm.
They have worked on that door four times. Yesterday, it was squealing so badly that it has sagged again. It just keeps getting out of position. I'm done with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is four times. You know, and it's the main place. And I'm sitting back in my office, and I'm probably 40 feet away but behind two closed doors, and I hear it go, you know, every time somebody goes in and out of it. And so what do? I calmly call my builder, and I say, Doug, I said, I've had it with this store. I said, I know they've been in here. They've tried to fix it, but they're going to have to spend some money. Mm-hmm. I want a new door. I want new hinges, new frame. This has to be fixed. He says, and of course, Doug, I totally understand. I appreciate your patience, Lenny. You know, we'll get it taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand how frustrating, and that's just a door. That's not a vehicle that I depend on to get to the doctor, you know, go to work and stuff like that. So diagnostic time is going to happen, and you want it to happen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You want a good diagnosis. But, you know, a new car dealer is going to stand behind most of the time, at least in my experience, okay, and most dealers that I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that are, you know, that just don't have the, I don't know whether you call it level of customer skill or the dedication to a customer that you would hope that they would have,
right,
and to their satisfaction.
Yeah.
Maybe they have more customers than they need, you know, and they can afford to blow one out occasionally.
That's probably not it.
See, I never look at that way. I mean, I don't want to lose one customer, but I know that I have. I bet I've lost customers because we didn't get their tags to them fast enough.
Yeah.
You know, and that just really blisters me, you know, when that kind of stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're not perfect. And what I ask, though, if my consumers, and if you have a dealer that you're doing, are we okay on time?
Yes.
Okay, if you are dealing with a dealership and you don't get what you want, don't just write them off. Just go up the ladder a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say, can I speak to the GM? Just walk in the front door. Can I speak to the general manager? And if somebody says, what's it concerning? Just tell them, well, I bought a car from them, and I'm not getting the service that I feel like I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, let me see who's available. I said, no, I want to talk to the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to talk who you can get, okay, because I know you might be able to get that guy, and he's the one I bought it from.
Well, he's not in right now.
Okay, when will he be in?
Mm-hmm.
Will you give him my number and have him call me? If he calls you back, then you can count on that place, okay? If he doesn't call you back and he has some underling call you back, or, you know, he just never calls you back, maybe I gave you that option, then you know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you need to take your business elsewhere. But, you know, these people that are on the TV commercials, those are people you need to ask for. If you know, it's just like if I was buying a car from Friendship, you know, Friendship owns a bunch of dealerships in this market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm either, if I have a serious problem, I'm going to hunt down Mitch or I'm going to hunt down Dustin because they're the ones on the TV commercial.
That's it.
You know, and I guarantee you, I know both those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a problem, they'll by golly get it done for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about the Chevy store, Tim Copenhaver and Andy Dietrich and you know, even the Hudson Group and you know, Johnson City Ford's a good competitor of mine, and you know, they sell a lot of cars, but Ed Johnson's a good man, and you know, you talk about somebody that will jump on a problem, he will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he started with the Grind Staff Company, and now when I met him, he was working at Johnson City Honda. And you know, Johnson City. You know, they Joe Tirillo's a good guy. There's a lot of them out there. You know, we're blessed with some really good dealers, but there's a few outlaws out there too. And You know, you just got to recognize it. I mean, you know, you can recognize it, right, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Can't you feel it when you walk into a business if you're being jicked around?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I can feel
you know,
it.
If they're
yeah.
playing games, if they won't answer your questions in a straightforward manner. How much is this car anyway? Well, sir, I'm not allowed to give you that price, but I'll tell you what. If you'll come inside and let me have your driver's license and let me know how much money you make per year, then I'll be glad to give you a price.
Yeah, maybe your firstborn child.
Let's pull your credit. Let me pull your credit first and see what you actually qualify. So you don't have to pull my credit to give me a price on a car, do you? Well, in order to be able to give you a payment, said, I didn't say anything about payment. I'm paying cash.
Yeah.
I want to know what you sell me the car for.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of payment are you looking for?
That's none of your business. I handle that. My payment is irrelevant, as they say.
Yeah,
in some place. That's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's all kinds of little things you have to be able to deal with. But talk to the boss, you know. If you get a problem, give them a chance to make it right. Dad always said that, you know, it's don't ever tell anybody what you can't do. Tell them what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may, if somebody says, I want a new car. I'm not, my tires are out of balance. You know, well, that's not reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, well, Mr. Cushman, let me tell you what we will do. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to put you in one of our brand new cars for you to drive. And I'm going to bring your car in. And I'm going to take all the wheels off. I'm going to rotate them. I'm going to balance them first on our computer, road force balancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure the alignment's good. And while I'm under there, I'm going to check everything, make sure everything's good, because I know you said you're going on vacation here soon. And then I'm going to detail your car. I'm going to wash it. And I'm going to get it nice and clean for you. And when you pick it up, you can have it at 5 o'clock this afternoon. You can get all that done by 5 o'clock? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we started off, he wanted a new car, and now he's getting a, you know, good service. Tell him what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And don't make him guess, you know, whether it's enough or not. So there.
So there you go. All right. We'll take our last break, and we'll be back and wrap things up.
We're back
Wednesday morning, My Car Guru, as we wrap things up for this midweek edition.
Being uneducated and impatient, or let's just say over-anxious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, uneducated, I don't mean dumb. I just mean you just don't know what you don't know sometimes. Those are the people that get taken advantage of in a car.
Well, there's a difference in being ignorant and being dumb, right?
Yeah, but you call somebody ignorant, and they'll probably swing at you.
Probably.
You know? But ignorance, you know, I'm ignorant in a lot of ways. I mean,
sure.
There's things I don't know and can't do and stuff, and I'm proud to admit it.
Sure, me too.
But now, somebody calls me stupid, then I don't really like that much.
Right.
You know?
Not a nice word as
no,
a teacher.
No, and I was told never to say that on the air, because there might be a child nearby.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
But anyway, one of the biggest ways that people get taken advantage of is through payment packing. And this is simply where the dealership has switched you from concentrating on the sales price and the trade, minus the rebates, plus the sales tax, okay, which is what the car is going to cost you, to talking solely about payments. And what they do is they inflate those payments higher than what you can really buy the car for, in order to give the finance office room to cram it and pack it full of things that you probably don't need or don't. Maybe you need, but you don't know they're in there, like an extended warranty,
mm-hmm.
like gap insurance, like wheel and tire protection, like this and that, and, you know, just whatever they can pack in there.
Mm-hmm.
And why do they do that, man? It's because they make money on those products. And if mm-hmm. you give them the opportunity to fill a big payment, say, in other words, you can buy the car without all that stuff for $400 a month, but they quote you a payment at $450. So they've got $50 worth of room there to pack in all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come into the office and they congratulate you. Say, oh, Mr. Customer, congratulations. You know, you're not only getting this car, but included in this payment is a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And you have gap protection that will protect you if you total your vehicle or pay the difference between what you owe and what the vehicle's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, your wheels and tires are going to be protected, all for just $450 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to disclose all of that. Well, they are after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
That is illegal and unethical. And you'll know it when it's happening. But unfortunately, Tim, the wrong people are listening to this radio show, because this is AM radio, and it's in the morning, and most of the people that really need to hear this are working.
Yeah.
You know, they're working in a factory or they're doing something and they can't wait to go out and buy a car. You know, and if the people who listen don't pass that information on to others, then, you know, they go out and they fall victim to this crap. Hopefully the new advertising regulations that kick in on April 15th will clarify a lot of the stuff in dealer advertising in the Tri-Cities. I can only hope so.
Yeah. We can hope. All right. That'll do it for My Car Guru this Wednesday morning, and we will talk with you tomorrow morning.